Well, welcome to Two Slant Trees, the podcast where a married couple learn to cope differently during social isolation while reading Brené Brown's The Gift of Imperfection together. This is episode 10, just trucking right along, and today we're going to be talking about cultivating creativity and letting go of comparison as a pathway to wholehearted living.
I lost my notes.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess speaking of comparison.
So we're going to stop comparison, I think is.
I guess, but I struggled with that. Well, no, yes, I always struggle with it, but on the top of a comparison, you do a better job of not spending everything on groceries. Like, when I went to go do groceries today, I spent double what you usually do.
Oh, yeah?
And I did last week, too.
But aren't we hoarding? Are we
supposed
to be?
Yeah, that's part of it. We're not hoarding.
We're not hoarding.
But there is, like, talking about, what were we talking about the other day? Scarcity.
Okay.
Like, it's real. Scarcity mentality is real. Like, when you go on this, and when you go and you see
there's no
nothing
eggs. Apparently eggs is the next big thing.
There haven't been eggs for weeks. There hasn't been
weeks, a couple days.
No, well,
I guess a week.
Every time I've been in the last couple weeks, there have not been any eggs. No flour, no beans. Like, I guess people don't care about noodles, at least at our grocery store. But anyways, when you go here, like, it's kind
of
like
egg-based cuisine.
Will there be any of this next week? So you get
to make eggs out of hamburger.
I don't even know what that.
I don't. Well, you make vegan eggs sometimes out of flaxseed, but we could try to make it out of hamburger meat. See if that
inverted. I wonder what your muffins would taste like. Which reminds me of the muffin. Or no, I guess she did. She made cookies.
Yeah, that was her story. One of her stories.
When she was a kid, she made cookies, oatmeal raisin cookies. But she used the, how do you say it?
Crawfish boil spices. So it'd be probably really spicy. Instead of cinnamon.
Instead of cinnamon. Like, was that a, was, she made it spin it like it was creativity, but I feel like.
That was creative for sure. I mean, it's not what one would normally do, I don't think.
Well, I was just thinking like.
Maybe she was thinking like cinnamon, ginger, they're kind of like sharp tastes, you know?
But when
so
you,
maybe cayenne pepper would taste good in a cookie.
Well, I don't know if what my question was. Did she like open it up and like, cause one time my granny made, when she was making chili, she screwed it up cause nutmeg and chili look identical. And she put
nutmeg chili
that she made. And she's like, oh,
nutty, warm,
very
Christmassy flavor.
Yeah. Thanksgiving-y. So that's what I'm wondering. Was it a mistake? But anyways, she put it under a story about creativity. So
yeah. So the theme of this chapter is that this step towards wholehearted living is to let go of comparison and try to cultivate creativity in your life to be wholeheartedly. So one of the things she says is that boredom fuels creativity.
No, she doesn't say that. Oh, I say that.
Oh, you say that. Oh, okay.
Sorry. I was looking that
up. It wasn't in italics, so I assumed.
So you assumed it was real.
I assumed it was important. Yeah.
No, I just wanted to talk about that because, I mean, there's lots of articles that talk about like boredom, because you're just like, you have nothing else to do, so you get creative. Although I think that's happening a little less these days, because everybody just like, I read one article and they said noodle on their phone all day long. If you're noodling around on your phone, I'm like, what kind of word is that?
I guess so.
I would not think of noodling as like,
I guess if you're spooning your phone.
Spooning your phone. Yeah, exactly. But our devices, and you know, we end up filling our time with food or TV or whatever. But
yeah,
I'm kind of hoping that, I mean, look at us, our Corona cast.
We're being creative. It's very creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping a lot of other people who else? Who was it? All these like writers or scientists discovered stuff during the plague or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Spanish flu, I don't know.
The Apostle John, he was exiled on Patmos.
That's
when
different.
He wrote Revelation.
You're just making stuff up. I mean, you're not.
Someone
not
pointed
making
that out today, so
okay.
That's just
but
set the standards,
like Einstein,
right?
Einstein or something, or
well, C.S. Lewis wrote Mere Christianity while he was being bombed during World War II.
And
but
then,
for all the people that have told
he
me
had
that,
no kids.
He was unmarried and had no children.
Yeah.
And he was a full-time professor. I mean, I guess he just kept his regular day job the whole time,
yeah,
too, because all he was supposed to do was be reading books and writing stuff.
So, I mean, I assume that there's going to be a lot more podcasts, a lot more dorky home videos.
You think we're ahead of the curve on this? Like, our podcast going to multiply? Everyone's going to have a podcast by this.
I don't know. Jack wants to make a podcast.
Okay.
I would let him.
Anyways.
If he had something to podcast.
I think that was noodling, what we just did.
We just did.
Freestyle.
So they say comparison. So she says comparison is all about conformity in competition.
And it kind of strangles wholehearted living.
Yeah. Right?
That's what she's saying.
But she says, like, it's we don't think that conforming and competing are mutual excuses. We think that conforming and competing are mutually exclusive, but they're not. She says, oh, I'm reading yours, but whatever.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking over. It's easy to see how difficult it is to make time for the important things such as creativity, gratitude, joy, and authenticity when we're spending a more enormous amount of times and amount, sorry, enormous amounts of energy conforming and competing. I think of looking on Pinterest and being like, look at all these pretty things. I could never do it like that. Or like, I think of how much time it would take to do all that stuff on there.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that is not at all interesting to me.
Yeah.
Anything that I do that's creative needs to be done like while I'm watching TV. So like crochet, or I was like all into that coloring fad several years ago.
Yeah. It's actually interesting, too, like, that competition, we kind of think of it as a good thing. Maybe I read this book kind of from, like, a business perspective, this entrepreneur, Peter Thiel, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. Anyways, he's like, competition, nobody, if you want to go into business, you're trying to avoid going into competition with anyone, right? Like, competition means someone else is going to take your money, right? So he's like, go into an industry where there's no one competing with you, where you can just make something that's useful for people, and you're so different from everyone else that there is no competition, right? It's like, that's how you can actually like make money, be successful. He says like the worst industry to go into is to open a restaurant, right? Because there's a million other people that are also want to run a restaurant, and you know you're not that different from any other place.
Yeah.
And so you don't, you're always just fighting to stay ahead, and your margins are so thin. But if you say you're creative and you invent something new, like make a new program or make a new process that makes money, then you kind of get off this competition bandwagon and get into actually making things that people like. I like eating at restaurants too. It's just,
I love restaurants.
I'm not sure if it's a good
business
to go into.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to eating at a restaurant.
Well, we can order in. There are lots of people are doing ordering in. You're just, yeah.
Yeah.
You feel nervous?
Yeah. I feel like I want to boil it. When it comes in, boil the Rona.
It's a respiratory virus. I was just reading this about groceries.
It's not an edible virus.
Exactly.
Okay.
That was a side bunny trail.
Anyways.
But you were saying, I just find that you started off being like, but some people think competition is good, right? But
well, I was like, I think
I cannot even conceive of.
I think people like winning, right? And it's like,
oh yeah, you like know, winning.
But people like getting an A in a class, or people like being the fastest on track and field, and you can think that's success, but it's like, well, just being better than the next guy,
and there's somebody else that's going to be better than them.
Yeah, it kind of is a dead end.
Yeah,
and some of the things that are the most competitive actually have the least gain, right? That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, right? Yeah. So in she says, "I'm not the creative type," but what she really means, this is Brené Brown. What she really means when she says, I'm not the creative type, is who has time for painting and scrapbooking and photography when the real work of achieving and accomplishing needs to be done? And I was like, ooh, it me. Like, oh, that's often how I feel. And it's the same with, like, I guess that's probably why I like to do two things at once. I don't want any creative, like, or artsy kind of thing to take away from my very important TV watching time. Sometimes I can do it in the quiet, but...
Yeah.
But it's, I guess, the other thing that I was thinking about with this is that, like, she talks about creativity, like, does she mean creativity in just general, or does she mean, like, artsiness? Because you can be creative, like, creativity is just, like, finding a different way to your destination.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, there's different forms of creativity. Like, sometimes it's, like, art creativity is, like, taking something ugly and making it beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, creativity is also just, like, the process of creation.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right? It's, like, it's take something that wasn't and make it into something that is. Yes. Or even, like, Wendell Berry, who's kind of like an agrarian farmer philosopher. He's like...
So you're basically your hero.
He's not... Well, anyway.
If he were smarter, he would be your hero?
I just don't agree with him anymore. Okay. He's kind of a hippie. But he did say, like, even, like, if you go up to, like, a big, messy sink of dishes, and I say this in my head sometimes, you should know this, and you could take chaos and you can make order, right? By cleaning it and putting it away, right?
I think about this when I'm, like, washing something for the 100th time or sweeping. It's like... But I think of it in the terms of the gospel, where I'm like... making chaos into order. Like, that's an act of the gospel. And that's why I'm like, I can do this. I'm, like, enacting the gospel. Jesus doesn't look at me and be like, you dummy. Like,
yeah, yeah. But, I mean, that act of... It is, like, an act of making something kind of out of nothing. That's kind of what creativity is, right?
Okay, yeah.
And, but it's... I think it's frustrating because it doesn't last very long, right? Like, even... So, even, like, if you're creative and, like, making a great meal for people, you know, and you set the table perfectly, well, in an hour, it's a mess. Mm-hmm. And if you have kids, it's on the floor and, you know.
Or no, nobody wants to eat it. You think it's great and no one, they all get mad.
Yeah.
How could you? Because
it's not Kraft dinner.
No, it's not the right shell.
Of Kraft dinner.
The yeah. box is the wrong color.
But, you know, it's, you're still making something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, you can kind of get trapped in this idea of, oh, it has to be like making like a statue out of marble that's going to last for 1,000 years. But like a lot of beautiful, good things have been made that only lasted an hour or only lasted 20 minutes.
Yeah. So is that and what she's like, saying?
And
it's like,
that's how you make culture and that's how you make a family and that's how you make life work.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going with it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not, I think I'm maybe going beyond what she says, but that's I where obviously creativity. I guess maybe
that makes more sense when she says, because she says the summary of her research on creativity says, so she has three things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the book?
Well,
she says, I'm not very creative doesn't work in her, she found this in her research. I'm not creative doesn't work. There's no such thing as creative people and non-creative people. There are only people who use their creativity and people who don't.
Mm.
Unused creativity doesn't just disappear. She acts like it's like an energy that is like always existing. It lives within us until it's expressed, neglected to death, or suffocated by resentment and fear. So like she makes it seem like it's this, well, like an energy. Like energy never dies. It's already, oh, what is that? Sciencey thing,
entropy, like it's never created or destroyed, yeah, it always continues.
Just changes. And then she, number two, her was the only unique contribution that we will ever make in this world will be born of our creativity.
Hmm.
What, like she's just all getting so philosophical or something. And then number three, she says, if we want to make meaning, we need to make art.
Yeah,
as long as we're creating, we're cultivating meaning.
Yeah.
And I am like, what? I feel like that's a really big jump to just talk about meaning, because aren't we enough?
That's true. Yeah, I would say the second one, actually. The only unique contribution we make will be born of our creativity. But it's like,
unique.
Sometimes...
Because it's unique by virtue of being like me in this moment in time, yeah, with my background.
It feels like it's maybe stretching the terms a bit, because it's like... It might not be all that unique.
I know. That's what the...
Right?
The
but it's still good.
Is it?
Right? Or it's still beautiful.
Because the cynical person in me, and maybe it's because like everybody's like, you're such a snowflake. Like, not to us, but like they think, people think millennials are snowflakes.
Anyone ever said that to you, Jess? A snowflake?
No. Didn't get a punch in the face.
Yeah, no one said that and lived.
If... I'm sidetracked now, but... Oh, yeah, that is the only unique, because it's like, I don't know, I can make a lot of unique things, but it's because they look ugly. Like,
yeah.
Like Pinterest fail styles.
But, I don't know, I would say ordinary is still good, too, right? Like, ordinary creativity. Like, a lot of life is pretty ordinary.
Yeah.
But like, don't discount the uniqueness of what you do. What you do and the importance of it, right? Like that.
I can accept that.
To cut Jack's sandwich into squares and triangles, it is meaningful to him.
It's definitely meaningful to him.
Right.
No, and I can accept that, like, that kind of mundane creativity is still valuable.
Yeah.
But I just struggle to accept what she says. If we want to make meaning, we need to make art.
Yeah. So,
Can you address that from a philosophical...
with creativity, I want to keep jumping back to that. Sure. Because I think we are more creative than we realize, too. And because, like, you know, we spend just seeing our kids at different levels of development, where Jack is 5, Ted is 3, and Tim is 10 months. And Jack, when Teddy uses a word correctly, it's quite impressive, right?
Yeah.
You know? And then Jack can put together some really complicated sentences and ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, that's actually quite creative, right?
Yeah.
And so just having a conversation with someone is a creative process. So we can sometimes feel like, oh, I didn't, like, make a painting. But just talking to people is actually a very creative, like, there's a creation aspect to that that's actually, it's complicated. Like, I mean, this is me being philosophical, I guess.
Well, I'm asking you to be philosophical.
Yeah. But there is, like, a, even goes back to Adam, like, that he had the job of naming everything in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start talking to about our lives or talking to other people about what we see, what's in the world, it's we're interpreting reality, and it's more impressive than you think, right? Like, that the smartest computers in the world are not able to really do much in terms of, like, language, but we can all just kind of, like, Jack can just chat and make up stories and show his perspective on the world. But we do it so effortlessly, we think it's easy, but I don't think it's actually that easy.
I guess I just struggle with this idea of cultivating meaning.
So if we want to make meaning, we need to make art. I think it's accepting that whether it's art, or I think I would substitute art for beauty.
Yeah.
There. Because art is kind of an ambiguous term, because some art is really ugly, right?
Yeah, it depends on the beholders.
No, they're trying to be ugly, right? Like, this is legitimately true. Like, they'll just try to make something that's really ugly for a reason.
This also reminds me of when we were dating.
Yeah.
Were we engaged?
I think we're engaged at this point.
Yes. Well, one of the wonderful things he said, I'm a philosopher, and I know that beauty is objective.
Yep.
And you are beautiful. And I was like, winning. Hashtag
nerd
winning.
Yeah. But if we want to make meaning, we need to make beautiful things. Or we need to make art. I would take that as we need to make beautiful things. Actually, one of the things that drew that out for me, when I remember when I went to Q Ideas 3 years ago now, which I'd recommend. It's online this year.
Yeah, it's a COVID conference.
So Q Ideas, look it up. Some really interesting
notes.
Content. So one of the speakers is Mel McGowan, and I can't remember if he said this, or maybe he was quoting, like, Dostoevsky or something, but he said, like, just in the time that we live in, you know, people get meaning from beauty, truth, and goodness, right? And goodness is pretty scarce, and people don't really accept objective truth.
Yeah.
So beauty really needs to do the heavy lifting.
Okay.
Of helping to give meaning to the world. And, yeah, if you have an understanding of God as someone who made the world and made it beautiful, and, like, that there's an objective beauty that he has given to his creation, and there's a beauty in the way that he has made the world work, and the love that he shows, I think it's the fastest way to get to meaning for us now. Well, and to kind of go through this path of beauty.
I think when you talk about, mention God, that's why I feel like, why do we have to make meaning? I guess I just feel like meaning exists because maybe God exists, but, like, or something.
Does it make meaning, or is it making sense? I don't know.
I don't know, but, like, I think maybe that's what I wonder if because she's desiring to make meaning because she's not the source of all of this isn't God. I guess I just don't know why we need to make meaning. Because aren't things innately meaningful as they are because we are, like, we are God's creation, and, like, that means we should, like, be doing recreation. We should be doing these things because it's a reflection of God. But, like, it all has inherent meaning because it's all from God.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, it, like, there is meaning out there for sure, and some of it we're discovering, but some of it, like, it's. It's pretty creative to figure out how it all fits together, right? Like,
in what way?
Well,
what do you mean fits together?
To know what anything means, it's a creative process, right? Like, it's for a scientist to understand, like, magnets, how do they work, right? Like, they have to think it through, right?
He is making reference to an Insane Clown Posse song,
which we will not link
to. We will not link to that one.
But like, it's not just like, just look through the microscope and you'll know. It's like, you have to make have an interpretation, right, of the data and have a theory, and there's a back and forth to like any kind of rational pursuit of knowledge or any science where it's like.
And I guess she's taking her research and trying to make meaning out of her research, and maybe this is just when she just screwed up.
She just kind of flubbed on it, maybe a little bit. I think for what I learned about aesthetics, it's not a super well developed field of philosophy.
What
art and aesthetics? Yeah. It's just kind of
yeah, because
people feel like there's more important things to work on,
which is maybe, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say fair because, but.
Well, maybe it's not fair, right? Because Dostoevsky or Mel McGowan, at least, said, like, if we have more beauty in the world, maybe we'd be a bit more aware of truth or of deeper meaning.
Yeah, right? We have gone down a rabbit hole that my brain cannot quite follow anymore. But she says, it's so easy to take our eyes off our path to check out what others are doing and if they're ahead or behind us. And then she says, without comparison, concepts like ahead, behind, or best, or worse lose their meaning. Creativity, which is the expression of our originality, helps us stay mindful that what we bring to the world is completely original and cannot be compared. Mm. So I think that, like, that makes sense, where it's like, it's unique in and of the self, that it proceeds from us. But, like, okay, this is the mind bender that she says here.
Yeah.
What would the world be like if we had no, like, if we ceased to compare? Like, this idea that if we did not have concepts of ahead or behind or best or worst, like, and we were just able to look at each other and be like, to say, like, isn't that nice? Like, isn't that great that you, like, look at their accomplishments and look at what they've done and just be like, cool, good for you, and have no bearing on our own self-worth or our own ideas or accomplishments. Like, that's just mind-blowing to me. What do you think?
I also think it would be a good thing. It doesn't feel as mind-blowing. I don't know. Like,
how is it not mind-blowing to think of a world where it's like you're in a relationship with yourself that is not in, like, in comparison to others? Like, it's not in, I don't know. You're the one who likes to win.
I do like to win.
But you already think you're winning?
Yeah, I'm going to win this conversation, that's for sure. I think...
Because I like to be better than other people.
Okay.
I don't mean that, like, objectively, but I like to be, I don't know if I'd like to win, but I like to be better. So in that sense, I look at other people and I'm like, okay, it's not so bad, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of comes down to, like, but I think when you think of what you are producing or what you are making, right? Like, that's where creativity comes in, right? Not like, I think the whole question of comparison, of how you compare yourselves with others, but it's more of like, how do you compare what you do with others, right? Are you like, oh, I made this, I don't know, I made supper, or I made a meal and brought it to the church potluck, and all the other people brought better food, or the converse, their food is awful and my food was the only good food.
Yeah,
it's like, well, I mean, it might be true, but it's not helpful for very much.
Yeah,
right. And it's, I mean,
but yeah,
I mean,
that there, I mean, as we would say, life
at church, it's like, well, there's your crown, you know, right? Like, that's all you get from God for that, because you're just, but if you make it, it's like, hey, I made something good because I love the people here and I want them to enjoy this recipe that I like.
Yes.
Then it's, you're not stressed out either. You're not like, oh man, I hope people like my, I don't know.
I track with spicy, the concept. I understand
spicy
the concept.
Bean casserole or something.
But I just don't know.
There's been some weird stuff at potlucks, right? Just bring Jell-O.
With marshmallows in it.
Yeah. And carrot shreds.
No, I just don't even know what my life would look like if I was just able to, like, be, like, I guess a visual is, like, be in the car on the road and, like, not be racing other people. It feels like, why am I on this road?
If you can't be first?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
That is what I'm saying. I'm like, why are you not, why is this not mind-blowing to you? Because you're the, you must win.
Yeah, I guess. But, yeah, I guess maybe in terms of, like, what I make. Or I think, sorry, we got sidetracked on this discussion of art, too. And I'm fixated on that. And the question of art and beauty. Yeah, I guess that's true. Where it's like, is that a competition? And I don't think it is.
No,
right? Because it's like...
I guess, but comparison, she talks about how comparison kills creativity. And so that's why I'm saying, like, I can't even imagine my, like, my world being stripped of creativity or of comparison. Because if it was, maybe I would be more creative. Maybe if I didn't look, like, imagine what it's supposed to look like on Pinterest, you know, I would be more courageous to start. I mean, you need to know how things are, like, what it's supposed to look like at the end. But
it's also, it's like, sometimes, like, you don't always get to, like, make the super creative thing either. Like, it's just, like, as she said, like, or did she say it or you say it? Like, who has time?
She said that I said
it. Yeah, like, it's creativity for people of all sorts of time. But sometimes you just don't have time, right? But to recognize that, like, that you're making something.
We got all kinds of time these days, some of us.
Yeah, not really though, actually, I'm finding.
Well, like your sister posted on Facebook, she's like, I finished Netflix, now what? Like, we will come to the end of ourselves, probably, or the end of the things. Like,
we'll see how things ramp back up. I do have a lot of books still in this library.
I know, so. I was looking at them, I was like, maybe we'll start reading books that we haven't read.
Anyways.
You busted out this book called The Invention of Art by Larry Shiner.
Yeah. You could read this book about art.
No, thank you.
I learned about beauty.
Is that the picture on the front is an iron with, like, what are they, screws, stabbing stuff coming out of it? Oh, art.
I'm not sure if it's art, to be honest.
Where did you get that? Have you read that?
That was for my, I read it in a course on the philosophy of art and aesthetics.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I wanted to invite you into this conversation, because...
I could wax elephants.
Wax elephants. I don't even want to look at any more of those pictures. They're weird.
Okay.
Art is weird. So, she starts into the dig deep and she says...
Yeah, that's definitely comparison. What? Art is weird. We're going to go to an art museum as soon as this thing's over.
I love art museums. They, like, speak to my soul. The ones that are, like, quote-unquote real art. You know, the weird stuff is just weird.
But we have, like... You get, like, abstract art put up on our walls.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah. It is.
But that picture was...
that was weird. I think that wasn't art.
I'm not even going to describe what it was.
It's a sculpture. Iron with nails in it. So if you tried to iron your shirt,
it would... You're gonna rip everything.
Yeah. That wouldn't work. Do they know that it wouldn't work? We gotta write the guy a letter.
What does it mean? Okay. That's how I feel about ironing, though. Just, you know that already. So
we have to put a picture of the iron on the...
I know, we will. Dig deep. Get deliberate. She says, if creativity is seen as a luxury or something we do when we have spare time, it will never be cultivated. She carves out time every week to take and process photographs, make movies, and do art projects with her kids. She says when she makes creating a priority, everything in her life works better. Hmm. I guess I bake. I like baking.
We also sing at church.
Yes.
I mean, that's sometimes as far as it goes for creativity.
I don't know if I would call that creative.
That's, I don't know.
Creating noises.
It's music. Come on.
Get inspired. Nothing inspires her more than her friendship with some people that she... I'm not even going to read all this. Basically, she thinks it's important to be involved with people who like to create stuff. Yeah. And then she says, take a class. Risk feeling vulnerable and new and imperfect to take a class. I think that's really key. Because there's an element of being vulnerable in starting something new. And when I started working out... It was just I was so glad I was doing home workouts because I did not have the courage to look like that and look like such a doofus in the public space. But somebody talked about, like, you know, it's okay to be a beginner at some things. Like, you're not going to be an expert at
everything. I think at everything, actually. You have to start somewhere.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, Teddy is still a beginner at pooping. Like,
on the potty. He's an expert at pooping anywhere else.
This is true. But I think it's, I mean, he's got to get over that soon, but he had to start somewhere.
Yes.
Right? Everything.
Timmy's a beginner at everything.
Yeah, Timmy's a beginner.
Not a being sitting. Cute, though.
Yeah,
he's an expert at that.
Expert level.
Expert level cute. But there's also, like, now it's like there's all kinds of classes online that are free. And
everything's on YouTube.
Yeah. So now is the time, people.
Yeah.
Get inspired. Go do things.
Go make something.
Make a rainbow in your window.
Yeah.
With glitter. I don't know.
It's going to be okay.
Ça va aller.
Ça va bien aller.
Yeah. Ça va bien aller.
Learn a new language.
Ça va bien aller. Anyways. Thanks for listening to our philosophical diatribe.
Yeah.
And
go make something.
Go make something.
It's good for your heart.
Make a podcast.
Okay.
Bye.
Ciao.